You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sleeping, it's something we all do, but are we doing it right? Over lockdown, most of us caught up on a lot of sleep and may have even seen our sleeping patterns change by having naps throughout the day. It's not a new concept, as history shows segmented sleeping patterns were the norm before the introduction of the industrial workday, which saw us sleeping in one block or monophasic sleep patterns. I spoke with Dan Ford, a sleep psychologist at the Better Sleep Clinic, about different sleeping patterns and what benefits, if any, we could see if we changed our way of getting some shut-eye. Dan, thanks for joining me. What is biphasic or polyphasic sleeping?
So I guess, Ollie, the best way to think about it is to think about what most of us get, which is what we call monophasic sleeping. So that is, you get your sleep in one block. All your sleep in one block, and for us it's typically in the night. So you could think of that as anchoring one end of a continuum, which goes from monophasic through to the other end of the continuum, which is polyphasic. So to give you the contrasting end of the continuum, polyphasic is where you get no amount of your sleep in one block, you just get multiple amounts of sleep throughout the day and night. So you're taking multiple naps. So that's polyphasic sleeping. And then biphasic sleeping, like a bicycle, it relates to two things. And so you're getting sort of 50% of your, more than 50% of your sleep in one period, probably in the night, and then you're getting the rest of your sleep in another period that happens somewhere else throughout the day or night. So that would be biphasic sleeping. So biphasic sleeping is actually a type of quasi-monophasic sleeping, if you really want to get confused.
So with most of us following a monophasic pattern, traditionally anyway, have you seen results from biphasic or polyphasic sleeping that would be, beneficial of sleeping like that? Is it more productive, or is it more of a case-by-case, person-to-person?
I think if you look at the scientific evidence around napping, for example, taking a nap in that post-lunch dip that most people experience. So this is actually a natural thing. It's got nothing to do with your how big or how many carbs you ate for lunch. It's actually just a dip in your body temperature, which makes you feel sleepy. So if you take a nap around sort of that midday to 3 p.m. phase, and you take it for around 10 to 20 minutes, the evidence shows that your subjective and objective sleepiness goes down. So you feel less sleepy, your cognitive function goes up, so your ability to make good decisions, your psychomotor function, so your reaction times go up, and your short-term and long-term memory improves, and you feel better, right? So your mood gets boosted, and that's all from a 10 to 20 minute sleep happening in that block sort of after lunch. So I think that's pretty good evidence that a somewhat biphasic sleeping pattern will benefit us. Or benefit most people. So that comes straight out of the scientific evidence.
And are you yourself a napper?
When I can. I try and, especially if it's a recovery day from training or something like that, then I definitely want to try and fit in a 10 or 15 minute nap in that afternoon block. The thing is, not only does it improve recovery, but you generally get a pretty good boost into that late afternoon period where you tend to feel quite sleepy. So as a worker, I quite like that, to get that boost late in the afternoon.
And I guess monophasic sleeping is quite new, with history showing biphasic and polyphasic sleeping was the norm before the industrial workday. Do you think that, paired with our exposure to more artificial light and the blue light effects from our phones, has that changed or affected the way people should be sleeping?
It's not entirely clear that how we should be sleeping per se. I think that, but I do think that over time things have changed in terms of if you look at the increase in light, artificial lighting, people's sleep times have become shorter overall. You still have cultures that that do have siestas, right? So, South American culture is pretty famous, Spain. But actually, I lived in China for a little bit, and they actually take a big siesta as well in China and in the more traditional parts. So I think, yes, light has changed it, and then just the demands of modern industrial society, right, where you have a time that you get up and you turn up to work for the man or the woman, and then you go home at a certain time, right, at a time period. Say, past, if you look at past cultures, they may have all different kinds of sleeping periods, and you'll tend to find that, you know, in some tribes in Indonesia, for example, they've found examples where, you know, 25% of the tribe will be up at night doing things, cooking, whatever, and then maybe throughout the day, up to 10% will be asleep at any one time. You know, it's not entirely clear how our ancestors really slept, but there is this sort of idea that we had a much more biphasic or polyphasic sleeping habit prior to the industrial age.
If people are waking up in the middle of the night and not getting a full night's rest, is it possible that they could be better suited to a different sleeping pattern like biphasic or polyphasic?
Well, I guess, Ollie, there's a few different things. When you're talking to someone who basically works with people with sleep problems, you know, I guess you need a pretty good assessment of what's going on for them to really work out what they're suited to. First of all, it's helpful to know what I think for people have a lot of misunderstandings about sleep. So usually I'll talk to them about it's quite natural to wake up to six times during the night. This is because we sleep in cycles of about 90 minutes, which go from light sleep through to deep sleep through to sort of rapid eye movement where we're dreaming, and then we come back out and go into light sleep. So typically you actually wake up at that point when you come out of that 90-minute cycle. We just don't remember it, or we tend to remember maybe one or two times when we woke up, and we just don't remember the others. So it's quite natural to wake up during the night is the first thing, and the second thing is... probably getting into the nerdy areas of sleep, but people are can be categorised into, I guess, morningness types and eveningness types, also known as morningness is a lark and the eveningness type is an owl. So some people, if you think about younger people in particular, because of, I guess, brain development, they tend to end up being late owl types, which means they go to bed quite late and they like to get up quite late. Morningness types or larks tend to like to go to bed early and get up quite early in the hours of the morning as well. So you have to sort of tease out all these different things to really understand, you know, is this person, what's going on for this person, and are they better suited to something else, or really are they just a normal sleeper with a really screwed up pattern?
I know that this is going to be a pretty broad question, but what do you recommend for people to get the best rest for themselves?
I think it's important to respect the role that sleep plays in our, I guess, our cognitive function and our moods. So not sort of try to truncate your sleep too much. Respect those, the guidelines that are given for, you know, young adult and older adult sleep, because they are based around some good evidence that if you get less than those, you know, you don't, well, it actually shortens your life on either side. So adults should be getting around about 7 hours sleep, give or take. And if you're getting a lot shorter than that or a lot longer than that, it actually shortens your lifespan. If you look at the studies, which they call sort of all-cause mortality, and you can survive on less, so we call about 5.5 hours sleep is what we call core sleep. So, you know, you don't have to panic too much. If you get a bad night's sleep, you'll probably be okay. If you have a, you know, bad sleep for a while, then you might want to talk to someone like myself, get an idea of what's happening. I think following good sleep hygiene rules, which you can find easily on the internet, is a basic for improving sleep for most normal sleepers. It's important to also note, though, that if you are starting to have quite bad sleep and you've tried all those things, and so you're probably in the area of being an insomniac, then yeah, sleep hygiene is no good once you've actually got quite poor sleep habits. So you actually have to get some support, and it's generally pretty the sleep. Once you have sleep problems, it's important to note it's not. So it's not necessarily a mental health problem. It's probably called a behavioural health problem, that your sleep system and your wake system in your body are out of whack, and they just need to be sort of entrained to help you get a good night's sleep. And then usually a lot of things like anxiety and low mood drop off once the sleep starts to pick up again. So those are definite things you can do. And then that little nap, if you're a good sleeper already, that little nap in the afternoon, no more than sort of 20 minutes, that can really be a boost to cognitive function and performance throughout the day.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.